good to see everybody this wonderful Sunday morning, and we're just so glad that you're here. We're so grateful that you spend time out of your weekend to be with us, and we always want to honor that and serve you in any way that we can. So it's just good to see you. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is here, and anything can happen. Now turn to your other neighbor that you didn't want to talk to and say, Jesus is here, anything can happen. Why don't you turn around and give somebody a high five, let them know they're in the right church. Now see, this section over here, we may need to do high five small group session. Y'all were struggling with high five. It's kind of, you don't want to do a high two. It doesn't work real well. So let's all do that again. Let's turn around, and some of people are slower, so you got to slow-mo your high five. Turn around and give somebody a high five. How about in the balcony? Life group, high five lesson, sign up. Turn around and give everybody a high five so you work it. You don't want to pass them by. That's a high zero. We can't do that. So it's just so good to see you. We want to welcome you to Healing Place and welcome all of those that have joined us through media, those that have joined us through our TV and our internet. Just so glad to have you. And we're just excited to have you here with us. We want to be a blessing into your life and a blessing to all those that are there. And just want to let you know that you're valuable and you matter to God. And we've been talking about supernatural makeover, and I believe that God is going to touch every heart that's a part of this message today. So, hey, church, why don't we clap our hands for all those who've joined us through TV and through media. Today is our final installment of Supernatural Makeover, and we've been covering different things about that makeover that we desire in our life. We've talked about spiritual health and physical issues. Last week, we talked about the them in our life, the people in our life, in and around us, in relationships, and about how we want to make a difference in their life and how we want to see makeovers take place in the relationships that are valuable to us. Today we're going to dive into, and I've been looking so forward to being here with you this weekend and just talking about this, because I just so enjoy talking about the truth of what God's Word. I want all of God's Word and want God to speak to my heart. I want to talk for a few minutes about our finances to God, because God cares about every part of our life. And all the things that are here in Scripture that teach us about our resources and our blessing and the opportunities we have. And how many knows that there are many people that are in worse case than you are in your finances? Can I have an amen? How many knows we are blessed? Can I have an amen from the church? We're a blessed people. And so we want to talk about those blessings and how God is our source and how we look to God as our source with our resources and the finances that He's given us. We put out Our Life magazine. There's some great articles that are in this issue of Our Life magazine. And I believe one of the key ones has been the area of finances. And there's some practical points that are right here about finances. And then we offer some dynamic helps to you if you want to take your finances to another level, if you want to see more margin in your life, more margin in your budget. We've got some great classes. We talked a little bit about some of those. Crown Financial, it's a dynamic class that you want to launch into, and we want to offer that to you. Mitch Mule, who's my brother-in-law, teaches that and just has a heart to help people move to the next level in their finances. So you could find out more about that. But we want to talk a little bit about, because we've talked about supernatural makeover in other areas of our life. But the question is do we want a spirit-filled supernatural makeover when it comes to our purse or our wallet? Do we want the same makeover there that we would in our family or in our physical body? Does God even care about our money? Does God even care about where it goes? So we're going to check out what God thinks about our checkbook, and we're going to see if our bucks are born again like our hearts born again. So let's all pray. Father, we love you. Speak to our heart today. We thank you for the Word. We want all the Word. We don't want parts of the Word. We'd never be a group of people that would tear out pages of the Bible and pick and choose what we want to believe and what we want to walk in. We want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We love you so much, Jesus. In Jesus' name, speak to our hearts. And everybody said a good amen. Matthew chapter 6, we'll read from there, be our first portion of Scripture. Matthew chapter 6, we'll start reading in verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for you'll hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or clothes. Doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing? Verse 26. Look at the birds. They don't need to plant or harvest or put food into barns because their heavenly Father feeds them, and you are far more valuable than they are. Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. Boy, isn't that a good verse? Worrying can mess up your life. Turn to the person next to you and say, quit worrying so much, girl, guy, friend. And why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, wouldn't he be more surely care of you? You have so little faith. Don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. What a great truth. Our heavenly Father already knows all of our needs. And he will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Kingdom of God, primary concern. Verse 33 of the New King James says it like this, and you may catch on more this way. But seek first the kingdom of God. God is a God first God. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things we've talked about, all these things shall be added to you. See, in God's word, it tells us right there in Matthew chapter 6, these are the words of Jesus. And the desire of Jesus is that you and I put him first. He wants us to be God first people. He wants us to have a God first marriage. He wants our life, young and old, no matter who we are. He wants us to be God first families. He wants us to have a God first church in everything in our life. Can I tell you what I love about Healing Place? One of my most favorite things about this church is how you love the truth. Over the last 14 years, you've always wanted it straight. You're not scared. You can handle God's word. I've never got an email from anyone that said, or a message that said, hey, can you lie to me next Sunday? I really want to be lied to. Can you just give me partial truth? How many knows that none of us want friendships that are based on lying, that are based on partial truth? When there's partial truth, you can't trust. I've never had anybody call me and say, Pastor, can you make it more lukewarm? Can you bring some more compromise into it? Can you just make it softer? I don't want all of God's word. Just give me the part of God's word that I like a lot. I've never had any. You always want the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. You ain't scared. You ain't weak. Give it to me, brother. I want to know the truth for my life. The other day I went, had a few physical issues. And so my doctor said this word to me, you're going to need to get some blood work done. Whose blood are we talking about? My blood work? You're going to need to do some blood work. Now, how does that happen? How does that get extracted from a brother? She said, well, you get over there and you're going to find out. And went over to the hospital, sat in the little lab area. And as they were getting ready to call my name, I got a little nervous on the inside. I started feeling a little nauseated. I started feeling a little weak. On the inside, I thought, that's going to hurt. I don't like pain. Pastor Dino don't like pain. I was talking to myself in the little waiting room. They called my name. I walked back there just dreading it. I sat down, and on the inside, I'm all nervous. I'm all scared. And the nurse walked around the counter. She said, ooh, I watch you on TV. You preach it. You bring it, my brother. You bring it. Come on. You can bring a strong word. How many knows at that point I can be like, huh? I had to kind of buck up a little bit like, yeah, I can bring it. So she said, we're going to take some blood now. Let me have your arm. She said, I know you're not scared. I know you're okay with needles. You're not going to faint on them. You're not going to get sick and jerking. You're not going to faint. I was walking in there thinking about a faint plan. And a big old self like me, if I fall, I can hurt somebody. And there's no catchers at the lab work. Come on, somebody. And so I'm sitting there thinking, as I'm sitting, she's like, now you're not going to get sick on me, preacher, are you? I was like, no, I got it. Look at this arm. Look at this arm. Strong. Give it to me. Hit me with your best shot. So she got, and I was just, ugh. On the inside, I was like, but on the outside, I'd be strong. Did I break your needle? She got done. We got up from the chair. And I was thinking, man, I got to get to the car so I can cry. I get up out of the chair. She says, oh, Pastor, we got to take some more. I forgot. Can I take some more in that other arm of yours? I was like, now, sister, that ain't God. That ain't God. I stuck it out there, drew some more blood. Reason why was, number one, I acted that way because I wanted to be the man. I didn't want to be weak. Number two, I wanted the truth of what lies inside of my body. I wanted the truth. See, the truth can set you free. Lies send you to hell. Come on, can I have a better amen? A lie will send you straight to hell. Truth will set you free in your life. So I wanted the truth of what lied on the inside. Healing place. I believe you've always want the truth, and you always want the truth of what lies inside of the life blood of this word, so that we can bleed the red blood of Jesus, not the green ink of money in our life. We want what God wants. I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Find Matthew, roll back a little bit. You'll run into the prophet Malachi. As you're turning, as we read the word, you begin to discover that it's very important how we see God's sovereignty. That's God's authority, God's control over our life, our marriage, over our finances. We always wonder, you know, where's all my money going? Where's my finances? Experts say that 70% of Americans worry about their money constantly. The average American cannot get his hands on $1,000 if the car breaks in a day. 52% of our marriages today end in divorce. One of the primary reasons, not the total reason, not the only reason, but one primary reason is a financial mismatch of values, a division financially. Of course, that leads to more divisions of communication, and that will lead to division in a marriage. It is real life stuff. As we have spent time the last 30 days praying over these needs, calling on God to meet these needs. It's amazing to me, Pastor Johnny, is that many of the needs have been associated to financial issues and the worries of finances and the doubt of financial breakdown and many people needing a financial breakthrough. Why is it you think it's so important for us as a church to offer a life group, to offer an environment so that we can get help and we can understand God's lifeblood for our heart and our life and the resources He has blessed us with? Do you know what I have found out? The more time I spend in this book, the more I realize that God knows all about me. God knows about my life. God even knows about my dollars. I want you to say this together. Say, God knows about my dollars. He's put 800 verses in the Bible concerning it. 16 of the 38 parables that Jesus dealt with money management. Matter of fact, he talked about it 5 times more than he talked about prayer. Not to downplay prayer, not to de-emphasize the passion of prayer. It is our lifeblood also. The Bible is full of sound wisdom for finances. He makes it very clear in his word that we are to be stewards, not owners. That means that all that we have, God possesses. Everything we have came from God, belongs to God. He's given us all of the blessings, and He's given it to us for a purpose. He's given us resources and finances and dollars and all these things that we have. He's given it to us as a tool. Our resources are a tool. A tool for what? A tool for more people to come to know Christ. Do you know what? In the last three services that we've had 35 people receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. How many knows that our resources can be a tool to help bring somebody to a point of a decision for Christ? The other thing that our resources are, they're a test. Your resources will identify a little bit about what your heart's about. And then the other thing we find out is our finances and our dollars and the blessings of God, it's a trademark. Because what we do with a dollar is an indicator of who we really belong to. Nothing wrong with stuff. I love my stuff. I got some stuff. I got some stuff at the house. I got storage for some of my stuff. I got a garage full of stuff. I got closets with stuff in them. Nothing wrong with having stuff. But where the problem comes in is when the stuff owns us. That's when we have issues. That's not what God wants. God wants you and I to put Him first. I read a book called Master Your Money. It's an older book by Ron Blue. He did the coolest thing. He broke down in five simple categories in order how Americans spend their finances, how they spend their dollars. And this is what he discovered. That number one, the first thing we do is we spend our money on our life, our stuff. Interesting fact. Many of you know we got a big game tonight, big Super Bowl. How many Chicago Bears fans do we have in the house? Got a few? Got four? Okay. How many Indianapolis Cubs do we got? Oh, everybody's pulling for Peyton, boy. I tell you what. Brother got to finally win one. And so, big game tonight. Big game. Do you know what? Over the last about 15, 16 days, I think it is, 2.5 million Americans have purchased new TVs. Upgraded their TVs. It's not like they didn't have one. They upgraded their TVs for the big game. 2.5 million. Average cost, $2,700. $6.75 billion. You can build our 3,300-seat auditorium 272 times with the money that's spent on the upgrading for the big game. Interesting thought. Second way we spend our dollars is this. We pay our bills. And a lot of times by paying bills, we're dealing with interest and debt issues. Number three, we pay taxes. We deal with health care. We deal with some pension issues. Number four, we invest numerous ways. Fifth on the list, bottom of the list, we give it. Average American believer, one that is professing faith in Jesus Christ, last couple years, 2004, 2005, gave 2.4% of their income to the Lord's work. 2.4%. Remember that number. We'll go back to it. 50% of all church members in America did not give $1 to their local church. Church they're a member of. And get a dollar. Can I tell you, those people are not evil, nor are they wicked. They just decided to do their dollars without God. God, I want you in my prayer. Lord, help me with my kids. Oh, God, I got a test at the doctor this week. Hoo, hoo, hoo. Show up, show up, show up. Now, my money, back off. You're not a part of that. They made that decision, which I think is a crucial mistake in all 50% of those people's lives. To back God off of your resources, it's not a wise idea. Can I tell you this? This church is not the average church in America. You're not the average believer. You ought to clap your hands for that. You're not sitting around a bunch of stingy people. Matter of fact, just look around real quick. Just spin your head around. Just look around. Just everybody look around. You didn't see hardly any selfish people. There's a few still here. You didn't see many. This church, listen to me. This church, to God be the glory, to God be the glory, is at the highest percentage of churches in America in giving. Come on, can I have a good amen? You're givers, but we still need to be refreshed about God's truth when it comes to our finances. Now, here's the deal. That list that we talked about, the problem with that list is that's a list that puts me first, God last. This list represents an ownership mentality and not a stewardship mentality. What happens is we start giving God what's left. God doesn't like second best. I don't know if you've read his word lately, but God is not into the fifth fruit or the tenth fruit. God is a first fruit God. You say, well, I don't know if I like that. That's none of your business what I do, my man. I don't want to hear that. Can I tell you this? I'd rather somebody tell me the truth and go to heaven than somebody lie to me and bust hell wide open. So we've got to hear the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. But wouldn't you rather hurt in eternity with heaven than just feel good on your way to hell? Not me, my brother. Tell me the truth. And you know what? God wants us to be a people that put him first. He does not like being fifth in line. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Turn to your neighbor and say, Lord have mercy. He does not like that. He's not into it. You say, well, he understands my challenges, my needs, my wants, my car, my credit, all my stuff. He understands my excuses. I'm going to be all right with God. I don't know if I'd take that chance. I want you to look at Malachi chapter 1. We're just going to read the words. It's in the same book as Psalms 23. It's in the same Bible as John 3:16. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. Let's just read it. The Lord Almighty says to the priest, a son honors his father and a servant respects his master. I am your father and your master, but where are the honor and the respect that I deserve? You have despised my name. Now, if God gave me an email that said, you have despised my name, I'd want to know what's up. I don't want to despise his name. But you ask, how have we ever despised your name? What are you talking about, Lord? You have despised my name by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. And then you ask, how have we brought those defiled sacrifices? What are you talking about? There's no way. You must be wrong. You defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect when you give blind animals as sacrifice. Isn't that wrong? Isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is with it, says the Lord Almighty. Son. Who? It's tight, but it's right. That's strong medicine. Can I have it? Amen? That same book, I read Psalms 23. I read John 3:16. 1 Corinthians, the love chapter. Same Bible. God is serious. God is serious about how we view our life and about his involvement in our life. Let's keep reading. Go ahead. Beg God to be merciful to you. But when you bring that kind, second class, broken down offering, why should he show you any favor at all? Asked the Lord. I wish that someone among you would shut the temple doors so that these worthless sacrifices would not be offered. I am not at all pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty. I will not accept your law offering. God says, don't even bring that second class, fourth fruit. Don't even bring it in the house. I'm not blessed. It doesn't even appeal to me. Somebody shut the doors. I can't take it anymore. God is a, isn't it amazing you read something like that and it's so direct to us even in 2007? It's amazing how the word of God goes straight to, I read this, goes straight to my heart. Let's keep reading, verse 11. But your name is honored by people in all other nations from morning till night. All around the world, they offer sweet incense and pure offerings in the honor of my name. For my name is great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you dishonor my name with your actions by bringing contemptible food. You are saying it's all right to defile the Lord's table. You say it's too hard to serve the Lord. You say, Dino, don't you tell me it's too hard to serve me. Don't you tell me it's too hard to love. Don't you tell me it's too hard to forgive. Don't you tell me it's too hard to give. Why do you keep telling me it's too hard to serve me? It's too hard to serve the Lord. And you turn up your nose at his commands, says the Lord Almighty. Think of it. Animals are stolen and mutilated, crippled, sick, presented as offerings. Should I accept from you such offering as these? Asks the Lord. Cursed is the cheat who promises to give a fine ram from his flock, but then sacrifices a defective one to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is feared among the nations. Don't make some commitment. Don't tell me you're going to bring me the best, Dino Rizzo, and then you bring me some lame excuse for your time, your talent, your touch, your treasure. Why would you do that to me? After everything I want to do in your life, after how I've blessed your life, forgiven you, loved you, cared for you, been there to sustain you, even when you didn't even know it, my child. God is such a direct God. God is so involved with us. You know what it's saying in Malachi chapter 1? God doesn't want our leftovers. Don't bring me your leftovers. Sometimes DeLynn and I will invite people over to our house. It's a big day for DeLynn. Ooh, she makes it a big day. And, you know, she, and I, we'll get ready for the, we invite, hey, come on over. I'm like, fine, what are we going to do? I got a plan. I'm like, what you mean you got a plan? They just sit up in the living room, get what they want. We good. And so she'll go out shopping. And she goes out shopping. I think, I got food in the pantry. We got some stuff in the refrigerator. She, every time we invite somebody over to eat, we got to go get new groceries. Got to get some new stuff. Got to buy something new. She'll come home, work real hard, amazing meal. She's a great cook, amazing hostess, amazing meal. People come over. They feel special because guests, when you invite somebody, guests ought to get the best. It's just how we flow. It's how you do life. Could you imagine if I had you over to the house? Y'all come over Thursday. Come on over. Come over Dino and Lynn's house. I want you to come over. Could you imagine me inviting you over? And you get there and we don't answer the door. You know, finally, so, what's up? What y'all doing? Oh, I got you. Y'all coming to eat. Okay, that's fine. Come on in, grab a seat. I'll see you in a little bit. DeLynn goes and takes the kids to gymnastics. I go out and weed eat the yard. About an hour later, I roll back through. What y'all doing? I'm going to go get cleaned up. I'll see y'all in a little while. DeLynn comes in, says hey to everybody, goes in, gets ready for bed, goes to bed. About 9:30, you still sitting in the living room. About 9:30, I come out. What y'all do? Did y'all eat? Matter of fact, I got some leftovers up in that refrigerator. Why don't you go get you some of that? I'll see y'all later on going to bed. How many knows that you never again come back to pastor's house? Because God doesn't want our leftovers. I brought some leftovers from the house. So I'm gonna check it out. These are my left. I pulled these out of the refrigerator. This is a meal DeLynn cooked. I think that's corn and green beans. Yeah, that's that broccoli, squash. About 2 weeks old. 3 weeks old. It's good stuff. Good stuff. We got some chicken. Chicken wrapped in bacon. There we go. Some chicken. Ooh, what else? Oh, we got this. Look, check it out. This is Bella's. Oh, okay. Refrigerator's breaking. We got Bella's macaroni. Man, we make this every day at our house. Ooh. I love cold macaroni. I like cold macaroni. They're old, too. This is Dylan's fettuccine. Got a little backwash in it. A little spaghetti. Ooh, last night's salad. I hate salad. Oh, check it out. This is some shrimp we had the other night. Ooh, come on. Anybody want to go fishing? Son. You can bring that. If I come to the house, how old is that? Oh, a couple weeks. Y'all go and get something. Well, y'all want some? You don't come lunch? Why is it with God? Oh, Lord, touch my child. Help me with school tuition. Lord, I need a new roof on the house. And then we put our offering in Tupperware. And we bring it to the Lord. There it is, Lord. Just take it. Here it is. Help me in every area. But you're going to get the leftovers. God says, that's not what I want. It's not what I want out of your life. That's not how we want to do this thing. Because if we're not careful, we'll view our stuff and our resources to God like that, like leftovers. We just bring them what's left. And we save the best for me, myself, and I. We leave the leftovers for the King of the universe, for the Savior of the world. And God says, you know what? Don't even bring it out. Take your leftovers, take all that second thought spirit and put it back up. I can't take it. I don't like leftovers. I'm not a God that enjoys leftovers. I didn't die on the cross for leftovers. Put it back in the refrigerator. Now, it's fine if you want to give that to me, but then don't expect a supernatural makeover from my hand if you're going to hand me leftovers. Because I want to bless your life. I want to be involved with your life. I want to be first. If you put me first, then I'm just going to pour it out on your life. He says, I want you to flip that list. Put me first. Malachi chapter 3. He says, and this is how I want us to live. This is how I want us to do life together. Should people cheat God? Verse 8, yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithe and of the offering due me. You're under a curse. For the whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord God Almighty, if you put me first, if you do not bring me leftovers, if I am a primary reason for all that you do, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. How many knows God's got big windows? I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Let me prove it to you. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not shrivel before they are ripe, says the Lord God Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord God Almighty. The Word of God speaks truth to our heart. When you read that, for me, it's so not about money and the church and preachers and this and that and this and that. Because a lot of times we will lean on the excuse or the failure of another person's integrity, and it will be an excuse for us not staying faithful in the first fruit. And what we do is we bring God leftovers because of how people have disappointed us. I don't believe God's going to let us get by with that one. I just don't think God will say, well, I know this person abused it, and this person didn't act right, and this preacher lied, and this preacher did this, and this, and I'm going to let you neglect me for that. Because, you know, really what we do is we sow to the Lord. Amen. We sow to the Lord. So it's so not about money. It's far beyond that. He expects us out of his word to give him the best. He says, I want the tithe. That word means 10%. We give the first 10% of our income to the Lord, plain and simple. It's not about the church. It's not about a preacher. It's not about anybody wanting any money. It's so far beyond that. If we're still dealing with that, then we're still dealing with the immaturity of our own issues, and we're not embracing what God wants us to embrace. He put a provision for our life in his word. He says, I'm going to give you a whole bucket of chicken. And how many knows in the United States, he has blessed us with the best bucket of chicken on the face of the earth? How many's ever traveled abroad? Glad to be back to the good old USA. Got our problems, got our issues, but aren't you glad for air conditioning? He gave us the best bucket of chicken anybody could ever have. And you know what he said? Now it all belongs to me. I blessed you. Because I could turn the air off tomorrow, like all, the whole planet. We'd have some issues. But I'm going to bless you with this. You know what I want? I want one piece of chicken out of that bucket. You got 10 pieces? I want one. You can have the rest. Now, if you want to give more out of your heart and out of your offering, then you can do that. That's between you and me. How many knows that's not too bad? One piece of chicken out of the bucket leaves the rest for us. That's what God did. You can see it. Leviticus 27, Deuteronomy chapter 14, Matthew chapter 23. I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to give. I would have to say in all humility, you can't afford not to. Not the world we live. Not this crazy, insecure, up and down world. You can't afford to not have God open up the windows of heaven on your life. Finish up with Mark chapter 12. It's an amazing scripture. I had to read this a dozen times to actually believe it. I couldn't believe Jesus did this. I am still shocked that the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of mankind, the one who hung on the cross, rose from the grave. I cannot believe he pulled this one off. It's shocking. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. You got to see this. It's amazing. Jesus, everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Jesus did this. Jesus went over to the collection box in the temple. What did he do that for? And sat and watched. He watched people dropping as the crowds dropped in their money. Could you imagine when we took up an offering today, somebody walking with that bucket doing like this right here? I'd be like, brother, you need to back up. When I put my offering in that bucket, I don't like nobody looking at that. I don't just, how y'all doing? Slip it in there. That's to the Lord. Jesus goes over to the temple collection box. I'm going to watch people drop it in. Look what he does. It's amazing. It says he watched. They dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 pennies. He called his disciples to him and said, I assure you, this poor widow has given more than all the others have given. How did he know? Because he is the ultimate financial scanning record moment. When she dropped it in, he did this massive check stub, financial reading, record, knew exactly what was going on in the world. He knew it. He knew her dollars. He knew her life. He knew her needs. He knew her lack. He knew her poverty. He knew her problem. And it said, she has given more than all the others have given. How does he know what the others have given? Financial scanning. He is a bank record financial scanner. He knows what's going on in our hearts and in our life. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus. How did he know that they gave their leftovers? Because he knew what was in their heart. That's massive. That is huge. I read this a dozen times this week and I thought, oh my goodness. Everything I've ever given, God knows about it. Because there's some days I'm glad he knows about it. But there's been a few days, yikes. For they gave a tiny part of their leftover, but she, as poor as she is, has given everything she has. Wow. He's watching the collection box. He watches what gift represents, because each gift represents a reflection of the heart. Did they give out of sacrifice or out of surplus? Did they give out of love or out of leftover? Because it's all about the heart. I lost my wallet 2 weeks ago. I lose everything I have. I need a life group for losing stuff. I need to start a support group. And my father-in-law told me, he said, I'm going to buy you a wallet that has a chain to you. Like a motorcycle rider. When he walked off, do you know what the Holy Spirit whispered in my heart? He said, son, always remember that your wallet is chained to your heart. Don't ever forget that. Touched my heart. Convicted me. When I travel, one of the first things I do when I get off a plane is I go into the airport, get my bags, come out of the baggage claim. And I always think one of my first parties I need to do is convert my dollars to that international country that I'm in. Because I realize that I need to convert what I have to the local currency of where I'm at. Because what I have does not work there in some countries. There are some countries that will not take the currency from where you came from. And so I want to flow in that country. I want to do some things. I want to purchase some things. I want to take care of things. I want to give all these things. Usually I only get a little. I get just enough. And here's the thing I always have a struggle with. Every time I walk up to an exchange booth or exchange counter, I always am thinking that that person on the other side of that glass is taking advantage of me. Every single person I don't like. I always think they're taking advantage of the exchange rate. And I can't get back. Wait, I can't wait to get back to my dollar bill land because I'm used to it. When we enter the kingdom of Jesus, we need not fear his exchange rate. We need not hold back and think I'm just going to visit there for a moment. We come to Christ with our life and we don't only convert our leftovers, but we give it all to him. We're going to live. We're going to stay here because he knows what I need. He's dedicated to providing it. And there is no better conversion rate, exchange rate, than Jesus Christ. He took my sin and gave me salvation. He took my blindness and gave me sight. He took my lostness and gave me that I could be found. He took my pain and gave me peace. He took my confusion and gave me guidance. Jesus has exchanged pain and darkness and wickedness for life. He exchanged it all at the cross. There is no better conversion rate than to give it all to him. Amen? Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Jesus, we love you so much. Lord, you sent your best. You sent your son to die for me. There are some days, Lord, I don't even understand why you exchanged the life of Jesus for my life. I will forever be grateful for that holy exchange. You sent your son to die on a cross, to be spat upon, to be rejected, to be beaten for me. And it makes me not want to hold anything back. Because we all need a total exchange. It's called being born again. Coming to Christ. I don't know why you came today. I'm so glad you're here. But I believe the reason why we're all here is because there's people here. There's men and women, young and old, that are valuable to God. And you need to be born again. You just need to be born again. You need to receive Christ as your Savior. You need a new heart and a new beginning. You need an exchange. You need to exchange sin and pain and rejection and addiction and anger and yesterday for life and peace and forgiveness. Say yes to Jesus. No to the devil. So simple. So childlike. So truth. I'm going to ask you right now, every heart in this room, every person gathered in this house, I believe there are people all over this room, and you know in your heart you need to come to Christ. You need to receive Jesus as your Savior. You need to exchange pain and sin, rebellion, things of yesterday. You need to exchange it for mercy now, for grace now, for truth now. That's why Jesus called it born again. Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter into my kingdom. I believe there are people here all over this house. You want to come into the Jesus kingdom. Now I'm going to ask you right now, as I begin to just know all over this house, there are people that are making that decision. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to count to three. And I believe there are going to be hands. I want you to raise your hand all over this house. I believe people feel that way. And you sense that in your heart. You want to make that decision this morning. That's why you're here. And I'm going to ask you right now, all over this house, as I count to three, I'm going to ask you at three to raise up the hand and say, that's what I want in my life. That's why I'm here today. Because I believe God's going to touch every heart. One, two, three. Lift up that hand if that's you right now. And just say, I need to be born again. I need to receive Christ as my Savior. I want to exchange it. Come all over this house. I see hands going up right now. All over this house, I see hands that are raising. In the back, in the balcony. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. People say, I want to come to Christ. I need to give this thing to the Lord right now. I need to ask Jesus to forgive me. I need to start out with truth. I don't want to follow a lie. I don't want to die with a lie. I want to go forward in my life with truth, with God's word. Come on, all over this house, I see hands going up. All in the back, in the front section. If you say, Pastor, that's me. Come on, make that decision. If you sense in your heart, this is a day of destiny. This is a defining moment. Come on, I just believe. Christians, let's just pray for 30 more seconds. Come on, staff, leaders, let's believe, God, that lives are being changed. Right now, there's a great exchange that is going to happen. There's a conversion that's going to take place in someone's heart, in someone's life. Lord, I pray for it right now. Touch every heart. Convict of sin. Convince of righteousness, God. Bring us to the cross, God. Awaken our hearts. In the name of Jesus, awaken our hearts. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for every hand that's raised. Thank you for every person that has made a decision. Bless them, Lord. What boldness it is in this house. Thank you, Father. I'm asking everyone that's in the room to just stand to your feet. All over the room, if you just stand to your feet. I want you to move it around. If you just hold tight for one more second, show respect to people that are making a decision. I'm going to ask you right now, I'm going to pray over you. And when I say amen, I sense all over this house, there are decisions that have been made. And when I say amen, I'm going to ask you that if you raised your hand, you need a new beginning. You want to be born again through Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to move from your seat, from the back, from the sides. Everybody around you, they will move. They'll do everything they can. There's people around you that'll walk with you in the balcony. As I pray and say amen, I'm going to ask you to move out of your seat and come and meet Pastor right here. And we want to pray together as a family because you matter to God more than anything else in this church. Your life, your exchange before God matters to Him. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I believe every heart, God, every person, they matter to you. Lord, there are many that raised their hand that as we talked about making that public decision, God, just stepping out, Lord, fear got a hold of them. But Lord, I believe you right now that faith is building in the name of Jesus. Many people here today, Father, that sense in their life, they want to say yes to Jesus, no to the devil in their life. Lord, I believe you're going to touch them. Even if they didn't raise their hand, you can meet them at their heart. Touch their heart, God, because we want to exchange our sin, our pain, our yesterday for your peace, your truth, your forgiveness, your cleansing, God. Let it happen in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to ask you right now that if you raise your hand, if you just slip out of your seat, come and meet Pastor right here. Church, why don't we clap our hands for those that are moving right now. I see people moving. I see hands lifted from the back, from the side. Come on, church, let's clap our hands. There are people that are moving all over. And that's so important to God. This is so important, our Savior. Come on, let's clap our hands. We're going to wait on those in the balcony. We're going to wait on those that are coming from the balcony and from the side. Come on, let's keep clapping all through here. Hallelujah. Coming right here. Let's keep clapping. Let's welcome him into the family of God. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Every life. Every life. Thank you, Paul. Donnie. Come on, let's say it one more time and then we'll pray. God is so proud. Thank you, Father. You know how many knows, amen, still here. We just wait. We're going to wait. This is why we open up the doors, amen, this morning. Any other reason, let's give this place to somebody else. It's for life. You know what? I'm so glad I didn't bring my leftovers to God. Because if this was my daughter, right here, what's your name, baby? Madison. If Madison was my daughter, I would spend, liquidate, sell, get rid of everything I own for my daughter to come to Christ. There's not a parent in here that doesn't feel that way. Forget it all. Get rid of it all. Don't need none of it if it's about my child coming to know Christ. Man, I live under a tree. I don't care. Can I tell you something? That is somebody's daughter. And I'm glad so many of you decided as a people to never bring God your leftovers. Because it's about having meat in the house so that the hungry and the hurting can have an exchange with Jesus. No other reason. Amen. Let's all decide. Never from this day forward. Can't do anything about the past. Never from this day forward will I bring my leftovers to God in any way, shape, or form. Never, ever again. He deserves my best. Because it's about lives. I want to lead all of you in prayer. Madison, I'm going to lead you in prayer, okay? Lead you in prayer. Pray all of you. All of you matter to God. I'm going to lead you in prayer. We want you to know we love you. There are people around you that are legit. They love you. They care about you. We would never exploit you. We would never embarrass you. We would never in any way. It's a holy moment. Me, Jason, Delin, we all tread at this moment. This is a holy moment for us. Because you matter so much to God. Eternity is in the balance. Heaven and hell is changing in lives. Jesus. Pray this with me. Everyone here, why don't you just, let's just do a do-over again. It's always good. Pray this with me. Say, dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I ask you.
I ask you.
To be Lord of my life.
To be Lord of my life.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
I repent.
I repent.
Of my sins.
Of my sins.
I want you to be my Savior.
I want you to be my Savior.
And I want you to be my Lord.
And I want you to be my Lord.
I'll never bring you my leftovers.
I'll never bring you my leftovers.
But I bring you everything from yesterday. I bring you all the sin.
All the pain.
All the hurt. All the rejection. And I lay it at the foot of the cross. Where you died for my sins. And I thank you for peace. And I thank you for salvation. And I thank you that this morning I am born again. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said a good amen. Oh, thank God, church. Thank God. He rescued us again. Hey, I'm going to ask our prayer partners just to spend time with you. Just take a moment. Let our prayer partners pray with you. Hey, what a great day to be alive. Listen, we'll see you back here Wednesday night for Life U or next Sunday. Got a great message on faith. So we'll see you back. Please exit away from the altar. Exit away from the altar so we can give our family a little time down here to pray. Don't want you bumping up all against them. God bless you. Have a great super week.